Hey there, Covenant family. Here are some quick stats to blow your mind and to get us started today. On the video and photo sharing platform Instagram, an average of 1,074 posts are made every second. That's almost 93 million posts per day. On YouTube, the video sharing platform, an average of 300 hours of video is posted every minute. That's 432,000 hours of video posted each day. That is a lot of content that has been created and shared. Today, we're going to talk about what we create and what we share. Welcome to Covenant Weekly Podcast, Episode 5, Creation. Genesis 1 begins with the words, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The rest of the chapter poetically explores God's formation of the universe, giving it form and function, existence and purpose. These different elements of how God creates. Near the end of the chapter, we read, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." The Creator God created humanity in the image of God and further gave humanity the responsibility for the flourishing of God's creation. It shouldn't be any wonder that people created in the image of the Creator have such a propensity to create. Of course, this was true long before Instagram and YouTube and the internet. We now just have myriads of places to share what we create. And all those options for sharing our creation has some benefit. One benefit is that we can offer what we create as gifts to others. We can also get feedback, some of which might even be constructive. Some very gifted creators get discovered for distribution of their creation on even greater platforms. Musicians and painters and videographers and poets and even scholars all have found ways to share their gifts that weren't available only a short time ago. But there are also some drawbacks to the ease with which people can share what we create. One such drawback is that our focus can quickly become on the fact of sharing content rather than the quality of content that is shared. The term content creator has become a common one to describe people who are putting something out there for people to engage with. But much, perhaps even most of what is put out there as content is, to put it bluntly, not very good. It is just put out there for the sake of being put out there. In fact, content that gets the most engagement often actually has harmful consequences. Content that oversimplifies nuanced issues will get picked up and shared. Content that attacks people with different perspectives gets watched and then pushed up the automatic algorithm so more people see it. Content that shocks or demeans or even lies to appeal to a certain audience often goes the most viral. I'm not picking on any side of any given issue when I observe this. No matter what the issue is, chances are good that the most influential and viral people speaking on that issue either oversimplify arguments or demonize those who disagree or aren't entirely truthful or accurate in their presentations. And just to be clear, I'm not picking on social media either. This is true in more traditional media forms such as books, newspapers, and network TV. It's also true in contexts that claim to be Christian. Many of the most popular TV or social media preachers do some of these three things. They oversimplify, they demonize, or they manipulate information. In fact, some of the largest churches may be guilty of this. And to be clear, it's really hard, perhaps even impossible, not to do some of these things when we're trying to create a 25-minute sermon or a 600-word blog post or a 10-minute podcast each week. The challenge is when people start focusing on creating content that will be catchy or go viral instead of pursuing what is true. At that point, oversimplification or demonization or manipulation they can become intentional means to an end rather than something we're working hard to avoid despite the constraints of the medium. Again, to be clear, not everyone who has a large audience does this. Those who engage with longer forums, such as books, those who engage in good faith with those who they disagree with, they're less likely to be guilty of these things than those who deal in soundbites, short content forums, and engage almost exclusively with people who agree with them. Here's what I'd like us to consider as we think about our engagement with the world. First of all, we are all content creators. We all create something and offer something, contribute something creative to the world. It may not be something that is out there for public engagement. It might only be among our family, friends, and coworkers. But every time we engage in a conversation and offer ideas and share our thoughts, we are creating content. We are making a contribution to the world around us. We're putting on display the fact that we are made in the image of the Creator. But here's what I've been wrestling with. As we do so, as we create, are we also putting on display the image of the Creator? Not just the fact that we were created by the Creator. Soon after the creation poems of Genesis 1 and 2, humanity acts in ways within creation that did not reflect the goodness the Creator intended. What they created was not good. It's possible to reflect the reality that we bear the image of the Creator without actually reflecting the goodness of that Creator. What if, instead of being focused on content creation, we embraced that part of our being as a reality? That part that says we are created in the image of a good Creator. What if we focused on goodness creation over simply content creation? What would it look like for us to aspire to offer whatever we give to the world, whatever we contribute to the world, whatever we offer to the world as being good? That becomes a very different conversation than just content creation. And I think it's an important one. Now, goodness is not a measure of perfection. It's a measure of rightness. It's a measure that something has been given form and function, existence and purpose that is for the benefit of the world. And when God created the world and called it good, it was not perfect. In fact, if you read the story, it wasn't even complete. God's work was complete, but the world was not. It had form and function, existence and purpose, and then humanity was tasked with helping all of that to thrive, even as we sought to thrive ourselves. In this light, the pursuit of creating in ways that are truly good becomes more about the quality of character within the creation and the quality of character in the person behind it than about whether or not what is created is perfect or unblemished. To put it another way, something would be deemed good creation if it helped foster goodness in the world. What's goodness? I tend to fall back to the fruit of the Spirit, in which goodness is listed, but it includes things like love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Biblically, the ancient languages used the word tov for goodness, then that was the goal of what was being fostered. Those focused on being content creators focus on questions like, will this get likes? Will this get attention? Will this get my audience excited? Will this get people on my side? These kinds of questions might run through our heads whether we're putting out a Facebook post or whether we're trying to share it over a conversation at the lunch table. In contrast, if we commit to being goodness creators, we commit to asking questions like, is this true? Is this honest? Is this loving? Is this being open to others? And is this humble? Does this foster goodness in the world? And goodness creators will ask these questions both about what we are saying and how we say it. Okay, we've been talking about being creators. We've talked about the idea of being goodness creators and not just content creators. I have one more thing for us to consider when we think about creating. We are not only creators who are hopefully helping goodness to thrive, but we're part of the creation in which goodness must grow. And that word growth is really important to this conversation. Because sometimes if we don't do this well, if we don't do this perfectly, again, going back to that contrasting word, that we feel like it's a failure, or we judge others for failing. But when we recognize that goodness grows, that God put it there as good and it had to grow, to flourish, to thrive, the implication is that we should be growing in our ability to create goodness and even to recognize what is good. This means we shouldn't expect to do this perfectly all the time. And it should be exciting for us to keep growing in our ability to both discern and create good in our world. I have a couple of nieces who are excellent painters. They're different ages and they're at different stages in their own development. But it's been amazing to watch them grow as creators through consistent work and learning and courses and practicing. It's amazing to compare their work today with what they created a year ago or 2 years ago or 4 years ago. And it isn't that what they did in time past wasn't beautiful or even good. They've just improved their skill so that the goodness of it hits in different ways. This kind of growth is available to us in all aspects of life, even in this context of being a goodness creator. We learn to love better. We learn to be more patient. We learn to speak with more compassion. By being aware that this is an area that requires growth, it helps us to be patient with ourselves and with others. I'm reminded of the fascinating verse in Luke 2:52, where we read that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. If even Jesus had to grow in all aspects of life, surely the same is true for each of us. We are created in the image of the Creator. By default, we do create in some way, and we offer what we create into the world. May we be excited to be goodness creators and not just content creators. And may we be people who are aware of and patient with our ongoing growth in this area. I'm praying for you this week as you consider how you can create and offer goodness in your world. Before you go, just a reminder that we are meeting in person for one gathering each week at 10:30 a.m. for the time being. We do have limited capacity, so registration is encouraged. This coming Sunday, we will be hearing from Glenn Robitaille on the topic of costing compassion. He'll be reflecting on the words of Jesus in Matthew 7 and Luke 14. Watch our website, covenantchurch.ca, for events and online meeting links. And don't forget about our March 6th annual meeting at 3 p.m. It's going to be running in a hybrid format, so you can participate in person or online. We're looking forward to being together for that important time, and anyone connected to our Covenant family is welcome and encouraged to participate. As you go through this week, may you, in the words of 2 Peter, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to Him, both now and forever. Amen. Go in peace.